Hello, this is Christian Hugill and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. Every week we take a look at a cool project that celebrates excellence in audio from the world of radio or podcasts, and we have a quick chat about it. And it is just a quick hello from me this week as I'm handing over the reins to Gary Spence from Clyde One. Now, Gary's talking to one of his radio heroes, George Bowie, who's celebrating 25 years of early alarms and waking up Glasgow. Who better to talk to him than not just one of his colleagues, but also one of his biggest fans? Gary, all yours.
Hello there, Radio Academy. I'm so excited for you to hear this, because I was so excited to do this. I'm Gary Spence. I'm on air at Clyde One every day from 4 o'clock in Glasgow and across the Hits Radio Network as well in Scotland. But I've known George for so much longer than the time that I've been here. George, these days, is well known across the whole nation for the phenomenon that is the GBX. It's a dance programme on the weekend. It's much more than that. It's a brand. It's a music genre. And I'm sure we'll get to that later. But I wanted to go back much further than this, because we go back a bit further than this. I grew up in Inverness and at MFR. And this was long before programme sharing, as they used to call it. Long before networking. None of my friends, none of my family knew who he was, but I knew George Bowie was the top dog. You know, he was doing Breakfast in Scotland's biggest city. He was, and still is, by the way, to Glasgow, what Chris Tarrant was to London in radio terms. It's that big, and he's gone on and on and on. So that's why I wanted to have this chat for the Radio Academy, because he's done something that so few people have done. This is George Bowie marking 25 years at Clyde One on Breakfast for the Radio Academy. George Bowie. Take us right back quickly. Let's talk about how you got involved with Radio Clyde, as it was.
Right, how, at the very, very start.
Aye.
Right, well, my dad was an agent. We owned nightclubs and all. I owned what's now the Garage in Sucky Hall Street, and he owned this place called the Penthouse above the Apollo and things like that. And he was an agent as well, so he looked after like traditional Scottish acts, like the Alexander Brothers and stuff like that.
The Corries.
I don't know if he did the Corries, but they put them on in shows and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
And your mum was involved in showbiz as well.
Yeah, she worked on STV. Yeah, she worked on Wheel of Fortune.
So you were brought up all around this?
Kind of, yeah. But my dad, he had this agency on the side, and he had a comedian, and I'd just passed him a driving test, and he said, this comedian's done a demo tape for Radio Clyde. They'd just moved to Clyde Bank not long, and he said, could you drive down to the new studios and check it out? And hand in the demo. I thought, oh, this is good, I'll get to see you. Because I was quite fascinated by radio, because I'd already started DJing in my dad's clubs when I was like 13, 14. So I was doing all that kind of stuff, and I always wanted to be in the radio. Never wanted to be in television. Oh, if you were like that.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, couldn't care less about television. Just wanted like be on the radio and now latterly make music. But so I drove down here and handed in the demo tape, and the guy that was ahead of production at the time, I kind of knew a little bit because he used to come in the clubs. And he said, you want a tour? I said, oh, I'd love that. That'd be great. I said, yeah, I'm walking around. And, you know, they say right place, right time, all that kind of stuff. I said, I'd love to work in radio one day. I said, I'm DJing, you know, in bars and clubs at the moment. I just turned 17, I think. And he said, oh, look, we're really stuck for someone to do a shift
tomorrow
night.
That's hard to do. Get them when they're desperate.
Yes. That's been the key to everything I've ever done. Get them when they're desperate. So I said, well, I'd love to do it. And because I was kind of working for my dad, I could phone him up and say, by the way, can't come to work tomorrow because I'm going to work at Clyde. So this guy came in and basically showed me what to do and left me to it, which wasn't a good idea, because I did put the station off air about three times, but it was at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Rite of passage. We've all done that.
Yeah, nobody knew.
I did that last week.
Nobody knows.
So when you're doing all these shows across the schedule, was it always breakfast for you?
No, I never wanted to do breakfast.
How have you ended up doing it for 25 years?
I don't know.
Years?
I really don't, because I still don't want to do it. I still don't want to get up at 4 in the morning. I generally don't. But I kind of like, I've accepted that that's what, that my kind of act is only going to work in that time slot. I mean, I would love to do a breakfast show, the best will in the world, on your slot. Oh, no offence to try and steal your gig.
That's
but
it.
That's a dream.
It is incredible. When you look back to when you started at Breakfast, Clyde One had something like 800,000 listeners. Clyde Two had 450.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, things have changed. There's a million other channels and different things and all those cliches. But to still be doing the numbers that you're doing is, as most of the industry knows, it's really not that common, you know, to still have 80-90% of what we had back in the day still there.
It's same with television. You know, you look at like STV, if you compared the, like, their figures when I started doing Breakfast Show to what it is now. I mean, obviously it's going to be nowhere near it because there's so many more channels now. And it's the same with radio. There's so many more channels. But somehow Clyde has just kept up there.
So what is it then? You sing for a while, obviously, I guess you still had things to prove, you want to have a big run, but is it just the case now that you feel like you've done it?
Yeah, I feel like I'm happy doing it and I'm happy to carry on doing it. And if they say to me, by the way, you're a wee bit old for this, why don't you go and do like some weekend shows or whatever? My kids aren't growing up anymore. I don't have any responsibilities. I've got a 14-year-old, that's it. My other two kids look after themselves.
By the way, this is excellent contract negotiations, I have to say.
And it's just kind of like,
you're really setting out your stall and making a lot of people panic right now.
I'm happy to carry on doing it, but I don't need to carry on doing it. I know that sounds a bit arrogant. No. I don't mean that to sound like, I could retire tomorrow and live in the sunshine. I probably could. I wouldn't be happy.
I want to touch on that in a second, but actually I would suggest that when you're in that frame of mind, and I know a lot of people who do our job have been, you actually do your best stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I'm more relaxed now than I've ever been because I've not got any worries. I'm not worried about, you know, can I afford to pay my mortgage if I lose my job or whatever. There is going to come a day when you're going to get the tap on the shoulder. It's going to be like, right, I think maybe, you know, we need to look at something else. And that's fine. And I'm totally cool with that. I'm hoping it won't happen for a while because, if I'm being honest, I really enjoy doing it now.
It does feel like these are some of, from what you've said to me off air a lot of times, this does feel like your happiest era here.
Yeah. 100% is my happy. And I don't know if the two are connected, if it's because I don't really care anymore, and or I'm just like working with such great people that I'm having so much fun.
It's nice that you can enjoy it that way though, because I think some people absolutely knock their pan in right up until that moment where they get the tap, whereas you're actually just kicking back and enjoying it.
Yeah, and just having fun, and that's great. And you know, who knows, maybe I'll just keep going forever.
George Bowie. The best. The best in the West. Clyde 1-1-0-2-2.5.
So, plenty of ups and downs, which we all had at the start. But when was, if you could pinpoint a time, an era, maybe even a year, where you thought, right, this is mine. Clyde 1 Breakfast. I am Mr. Clyde 1 Breakfast.
If I'm being honest, I think about the millennium, I realised this is mine. This is right, 2000.
Was that after you came back? Because we're going to talk about the Beat 106.
Right, I didn't know if we could talk about that or not, but I'm more than happy to talk about that.
This is your career and it's 25 years.
Right, yeah, absolutely. When I came back, that's the only time I felt this is mine and these people want me. Up until then, I felt like I was just filling in for a guy who might come back and might not.
What a difference. What an absolute difference it makes when you're on air and you just said those words there, when you feel like they want you.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I never felt wanted before. I felt under pressure and I don't think anybody felt wanted. And I think it was just the way the guy ran the radio station. He was ex-army, so he ran it in that kind of military style.
I mean,
and
I
that
it,
might have worked in the 70s.
I say it in jest, you know, I said it earlier, but it was different times.
It was
know,
different times.
Look at the programmers back then.
Crazy.
Beat 106 launches. It's now Capital, of course. It was Galaxy. It was XFM. It started off as Beat 106 and made the likes of Carol Smiley and Ali McCoist a lot of money.
And potentially me a lot of money if I'd stayed, because I got offered the same deal as them to stay.
That's got to hurt.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know what? It doesn't hurt at all.
Beat 106 launches across central Scotland. You're the biggest name in Scottish radio at that point. So they presumably come in and poach you. How did the chat come about? And let's talk quite briefly, but it's still part of your story, about the Beat 106. I was going to say years. Year? Was it even that?
Can I tell you that it's funny that, because that is the preconception of everyone, that they came in and poached me. I went to them because I was so unhappy. I was like, I hated working here. I hated the job. I hated the management. I hated the way I was treated. And I phoned them and said, I noticed you haven't announced a breakfast show yet. Do you want to meet up? And they were like, yes. I already knew Ron McCulloch, who owned it, because I was DJing for him in the tunnel, because GBX was flying. And we all went out and they made me an offer, and it was not a lot of money. And it wasn't any more than I was getting here. People think I went for like millions and all that kind of. I just said, look, this is what I'm getting paid. If you match it, then I'll come to you. And that's all it was. It was all down to it wasn't even about, oh, this radio station, they promised me the world, or this radio station was going to be about. I was just so unhappy I had to get out here.
For you to then go on, and I'm trying not to use Partridge's phrase here, but people bounce back. Yeah. You bounce back 25 years on Breakfast after that.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
You know, you might have been tempted then just to go out. You might not have got back to Clyde.
Yeah, yeah, I might not. And you know what? I would have stayed there, and that's fine. I didn't go to Clyde and ask them to take me back. They came to me and said that the management had changed and there was new management in and they wanted to meet with me. And they said, we really want you. I think he actually referred to me as, which I don't agree with, but he said, I was the greatest broadcaster of my generation, which filled me with confidence. I thought, actually, this guy rates me.
Excuse me for interrupting. Let's call it the new era then at Clyde One. You're back, it's the year 2000, you've got better management, you're happy, you feel it's your own.
Yeah, they were really happy times, man. They were great times.
I can believe that you don't feel it's 25 years because of what you just said there. You think of 2014 as 2 or 3 years ago and it's coming on a decade. So I think
of 2000 as 3 or 4 years ago. I think of like what you're talking about when I left and came back. That seems to me like less than 10 years ago.
And it just flies by.
Yeah.
Because you're on the air every day, churning it out somehow. That's what I want to ask you about next. The pandemic was hard for everyone. And I know we're all done talking and thinking about it. But a breakfast show during the pandemic, I mean, you guys and our colleagues all over the country just coming in and churning it out every day. I mean, how?
Yeah, it was a weird one. I just enjoyed getting out of the house and still being on the radio. And I can talk rubbish to anyone. So it didn't make any difference to me whether, you know, there was people in the building or less people listening or whatever. I was still living a life to a certain extent with the chaos that's going on in my home and everything else.
In a way as well, it was the one box you hadn't ticked because you've been on air through so many mad times, you know. And for me, the big ones, in fact, it was the year you started Princess Diana.
Like the week or... Was it the week I started? It was round about that anyway. It was like maybe a month or two into the show. We went on for a week and were told we weren't allowed to do any features, anything. We were only to play ballads every day for a week. So we were playing like the Bangles Eternal Flame out the 8 o'clock news and stuff like that.
Because that'll cheer everyone up when they need it. How has your prep evolved over the years, or your approach to it? Because the industry has changed wildly all around you.
Yeah, I think I started kind of like just winging it. And I think there's more structure now, but I still wing it around the structure. Like I've always got too much stuff. I'll always get handed stuff. Why don't we talk about that? I want to do this. Or I will just make a comment, someone will phone in, and you'll get this as well. So you'll make a comment, someone will phone in, and suddenly get an entire show out of it. And that's it.
But this is what I want to get across to people across the UK who aren't in Glasgow in the West, who haven't been in your studio. We call them Bowie calls. I call them that at Capital. If you mention something on air, I think it's fair to say, unless you're on a national radio station, the days of opening your mouth and saying something without even a hint or a suggestion that somebody should react to you, the switchboard's full. This still happens every day at Clyde One in Glasgow. And that doesn't happen anywhere else that I've ever worked.
I didn't realise that. I just thought that was a radio thing.
No. So you're saying, oh, you know that way when you mention something on the air and then you get 25 calls. No, like no one else does. But I've seen it in your studio.
It's crazy.
And it's a Bowie call. You know, it's like, great, I've not even asked for that. They're giving me stuff.
There we go. So I think because I've done the show for so long, I think people know they can talk to me about anything. They know my sense of humour. They know the type of person I am. They know me kind of inside out because I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. I just come on and be me. I'm not like a character. I haven't changed my name to some kind of radio name or whatever. This is just me and this is just the rubbish I talk. And thankfully people have liked it for 25 plus years.
Over the years then, let's talk about the good times, you know, the festivals, the international broadcasts, all the mad events that have gone down. What are some of your happiest memories of being on Clyde One over the 25 years?
Oh, it's been some great stuff. I remember I was reading a book actually recently about one of the guys that used to work in here that had written, and it reminded me about something I'd more or less forgotten about. When we went to New York, we won a New York award. I did I can't remember what it was some kind of interview with Tony Blair when he was Prime Minister, and it got nominated for a New York award, so we flew out to New York and we won, and we did the show live from Times Square, and I'd completely forgotten about this, and that was quite amazing. Like
the stuff you get to do.
I know. So yeah, we're actually at Times Square, and because of the time difference, obviously, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning when we're starting the show. Pitch dark, but it's New York. There's still people stoating about, and it was just, that was class. Another one was we got flown out to Florida by one of the record labels, whatever label Celine Dion's on. They flew us out and put us up in this massive resort, and we did the breakfast show live from this huge resort because Celine Dion was going on tour. And they flew us out first class, Virgin first class.
Even in Inverness, we had record labels come up, take you out for dinner, yeah, like the good old days. I can't imagine how bleak they're feeling things now.
Oh, that was amazing back then. We used to get invited. I used to knock a lot of it back.
Showcases.
Because, we'll get a new Madonna album. We'd love you to hear a new Justin Timberlake album.
We're putting on a jet for you. Come down to London.
Yeah, exactly. And, you want to fly down to London and meet Pink and do an interview and stuff. And yeah, things like that. And do you want to DJ with these people? Do you want to play Hamden with George Michael? Yeah, that'd be great.
Scotland's biggest hits. Scotland's biggest hits. 102.5.
Well, here we are, 25 years in as far as breakfast goes. I think I picked up on this earlier. I think you're agreeing that you'll do many more, which is good news for everybody, because nobody wants to be that guy or girl when you go.
But someone's going to have to do it one day, you know? I mean, it's one of these things. It's kind of like everything moves on, you know? Eventually, Ant and Dec won't be on the telly and someone will have to do that. And times move on.
Well, here's my killer last question. An absolute killer question. You're not allowed to say me out of politeness.
Okay.
If it's not you and it's one other person in Scottish radio, who would you, if you were deciding to pass on that baton of Clyde
that's a good
breakfast?
I wouldn't want that responsibility.
Oh,
I wouldn't want to do I wouldn't want to do what Alec Ferguson did when he put David Moyes up for Man United and it all fell apart. It's weird because when I signed my last deal, I felt older than I do now. It's strange. Like, I thought, but now I don't really feel that way. I don't know if GBX keeps me younger.
I think it might be that. But I also think that, and the BBC went through a phase of this, I think the obsession with the age of a presenter or the content provider, if you like, I think we're over that. Because I remember when I used to listen to Chris Moyles when I was younger, and he'd be talking about Starsky and Hutch. I had no idea, because that was a generation before me. He was a few years older than me. Yeah. I didn't care. I still loved listening. I still, my mates, was entertained. So people still want entertained. I know a lot of people who are coming through now in the industry. There's a lot of campaigning, and that is great because we all have a responsibility to do that. But being totally frank, I think it's easier to campaign than it is to entertain. And I don't think your age comes into that at all. If they like you and you can make them smile, make them laugh every so often, great. But
Yeah. And if you don't sound out of touch and you're not saying stuff that's offensive, because it was okay to say that 20, 30 years ago.
The GBX is probably a large part of that as well. And I want to talk to you about that someday, because it's so hard to convey the cultural phenomenon that it is to anybody outside Scotland. I mean, it is not an exaggeration to say that you have your own genre of music.
It's weird, isn't it? We're doing this kind of new thing now, Generation GBX, which is the real old school, the 90s stuff.
That's the AM retirement plan.
Yeah, this is the AM retirement plan. But like, we launched a gig and it sold out in an hour. So we launched another date and it sold out in 3 minutes.
Mad.
3 minutes. And this is for a whole new brand. And I'm just thinking, it's just, I don't know. People just seem to get it, which is great. I'm so proud of that.
It's because they love the tunes and they love you, George. I've been very careful not to laden this whole sort of chat with compliments, but I know I speak for everybody in this building and out with it. You're so, so unaffected by your success. It's just been an incredible career. And the important thing is, and I think we've almost shaken on this, it's far from over.
Far from over. I hope like 25 years isn't like a band bringing out a greatest hits album.
Really,
a band brings out a greatest hits album, you know that's it.
George Bowie. Bowie at Breakfast on Clyde One. Long may you reign. Good to catch up.
Great, Gary. Thank you, pal.
very grateful to Gary and to George. What a proper radio legend. And you can get more from the Radio Academy for just £3 a month by signing up to be a member. You get loads more great content like that. Search Radio Academy membership for the details. Now, I'm back next week with a look at how to make a daily news podcast with Niall Patterson from the recently relaunched Sky News Daily. I look forward to talking to you then. Bye for now.